It's customary to stand at Trinitarian verses, and though it is not explicit in the last stanza, we know from Augustine that the Father is the lover, the Son is the beloved, and love is the Holy Spirit, and all three are indeed mentioned in the last stanza. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, popular images that don't quite represent Scripture. We all know about them. Case in point, the Epiphany kings, quote-unquote kings, and the Epiphany wise, quote-unquote wise men who followed the star. Calling them kings, it's something that did not occur until the 6th century. Calling them wise did not occur until the 8th century. But our cultural images have built up those popular ideas about the Magi who came to pay homage and adoration towards the baby Jesus, who was, as we know, about 2 years old and was now being raised in the house of Joseph and Mary. This also corrects our typical manger scenes. The Magi never made it to the manger, per se, but traveled for many months to see the baby Jesus when the time had passed after his birth. So the shepherds worshipped at the manger, but the Magi followed those shepherds, and they bowed down to Jesus in the humble home of Joseph and Mary many months after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the typical manger scene, we have the poor shepherds and then typically elaborately dressed Magi right there with them. But the biblical evidence states that the Magi arrived long after the shepherds, and furthermore will not let us be too terribly impressed with those Magi. Let me tell you why. Magi were often servants of rulers who oppressed the people of Israel. We know this from the example of Babylon during the exile, as we seemingly have depicted in the book of Daniel. They were most certainly not kings, but they were most certainly servants. Furthermore, any good Israelite would never admire their so-called wisdom. Ancient astronomy was often associated with the occult. And from a Jewish perspective, this was a form of false and idolatrous knowledge and learning. This would not be admired by the people of God. For the people of God at that time, this would actually be a field of knowledge that would be shunned. But even more fundamentally disturbing is that these Magi were Gentiles. They were outsiders in relation to the people of God. They did not belong in association with the Holy Covenant people and the Holy Messiah. So, who were the Magi? They were not really kings, but they were servants. They were not really wise, but they were known for occult science. They were not even among God's people, but were known to be Gentiles and outsiders. How much should these men, in terms of their own persons and their own credentials, be admired? Not at all. And yet, these are the ones who came seeking to worship the Christ. These outsiders, these occult sinners, these servants of oppressors are the ones who came to worship. St. Matthew is writing to Jews, and he is undoubtedly putting them to shame. Because it was not the Israelites who sought to worship the Christ child, but Gentile sinners. But as this is recorded in Holy Scripture, we too are being convicted of our sin, which keeps us from seeking the Christ to worship him. There is, however, a great lesson to be learned. Luther writes about the situation here presented to us. Him whom his own would not seek or acknowledge, but this strange foreign people. That was truly a great disgrace for the entire Jewish land and people, that Christ was born in the midst of them, and they should first learn it from strange, heathen, foreign people. But understand that when you hear a commentary like this from teachers like Luther, we are in fact being warned against our own sinful nature. That is, in each and every one of us, regardless of our nationality or our ethnicity. We see in Jerusalem our own sinful problem. Jerusalem has had the word for ages when it learns of Bethlehem through the Magi. Responds not at all. From Jerusalem comes only an attempt to murder the Messiah, not to worship him. We mirror Jerusalem. We mirror the Israelites at the time according to our sinful nature when Christ is in the very midst of us. And yet we are unresponsive because we're too busy chasing the things of this world. Shame on them and shame on us. We too are sinners as they are sinners. And yet from their perspective, the Magi were greater sinners still. Again, remember these who served oppressors of God's people. Outside occult practitioners. What are they doing in Jerusalem? They are in Jerusalem to show the ways of God. What are those ways? I give two examples. On page 14, the first one taken from Matthew chapter 3. Some 30 years after the Magi, John the Baptist would preach, "And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." Matthew chapter 22. After John the Baptist, Jesus himself taught in the parable of the wedding feast, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." That is, God does not need us. He wants us. He loves us. He calls us. But he does not need us. If we will not be faithful children of God, God can make faithful children from stones. If we will not respond to his great invitation to the wedding feast, he will go out to the main roads and he will find faithful worshipers. We are being warned in this Epiphany text that a great light has come into our midst, but the question is put before us, how will we respond? Will we seek Christ fervently as the Magi did, who are willing to travel for months and months and months? Or will we drown out God's great call to us through our iPhones, iPads, earphones, and plasma LCD LED flat screens? The point is that when you see the Magi in Scripture or in those manger scenes, which if they include the Magi should still be set out in our homes, especially since now only Epiphany has arrived just now. But when you see these Magi, we should be humbled. Sinful occult practicing outside of God's people, servants of oppressors, were called to seek Jesus by the grace of God. Are we doing the same? But don't despair. God gave those Magi a lot of help. He gives you and he gives me a lot of help. The Magi are also quite simply pictures of God's grace to poor sinners. We simply do not know how much those Magi knew about Jesus, but it should not surprise us if the word of the Old Testament prophets had somehow reached them, perhaps through Daniel. But what we know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that the Lord sent an amazing miracle to those magi through the Star of Bethlehem. Impressive studies have been conducted on the Star of Bethlehem, including stunning historical and astronomical research that gives, at the end of the day, a natural, albeit rare, explanation for the phenomenon of the star that is here described. Many people find these explanations to testify to God's magnificent providence working in the cosmos. And indeed, what has been made revealed to us in the cosmos does, as God's word says in Romans, reveal God's invisible qualities. But there seems to be much more going on here. The star, says Lenski, moved as a guide. The star arrived. The star stood. It is all perfectly plain, absolutely miraculous, unlike any star that ever existed. Later, in a warning, the Magi are led away from Herod, and God even communicates to these poor sinners in a dream. God had helped these poor Magi. He very likely gave them his word in advance. He led them by a miraculous star. He communicates to them in a dream. God's revelation made up for their inability. God's wisdom made up for their ignorance. God's power made up for their weakness. And God's grace in Christ covered their sin. And led by God, they bowed down to worship the King. How much did they know about Jesus? We don't know with certainty, but I'm personally drawn to Luther's description. Although the Magi enter a poor house, find a poor young woman with a poor child, and also there is an appearance so like a king that the Magi's servant is more honorable and reputable, yet they are not troubled. But in great, strong, full faith, they put everything out of their eyes, out of their mind, which nature, with its arrogance, might adduce and bring into play. They simply know the verse of the prophet and the testimony of the star, and they believe him to be king. Fall down, worship him, and give presents to him. I find the discussions about how much they knew to wax cold. They were being led by a miraculous star. They must have known that this child was the King of Kings, and that caused them to prostrate themselves. The gifts they gave were also amazing. It's easy for the scholars to say they were simply gifts given to royalty back in the day, period. But the ancient opinions of the church seem appropriate that, again, much more is going on. So it's unwise for us to ignore such a great tradition. Gold was given to say, yes, indeed, Jesus, you are the King of Kings. For no one else has a star like this guiding. Frankincense and myrrh were costly aromatic gums distilled from trees and much used in religious ceremonies. Now this frankincense was given Jesus because he was being confessed as God. As the frankincense rises up, so do our prayers, and so does our worship rise up to God. Myrrh was given Jesus because he was destined to die when he would die on the cross for his blood to cover the sins of the world, to cover your sins. Myrrh was used to prepare the dead for burial, and Christ would be buried 3 days before conquering death for the Magi and for you. No amount of human wisdom could ever realize these things, but God was leading these Magi. God's revelation was overcoming what they could never know by themselves. By grace, they knew. And by grace, you know. Your Star of Bethlehem, or your Star of House of Bread, the meaning of Bethlehem, is the star of Christ's house, the church, where the bread of life, Jesus himself, is given to you. And he shines forth through his word that you would know the grace of God in your life. You too, poor sinner, are being led by God to worship Jesus, born for you, to save you from sin and every evil, and to borrow from Gregory the Great. In response to him, quote, "And so do we offer gold to the newborn king, if we shine in his light with the brightness of the wisdom from on high. We too offer him incense, if we enkindle on the altar of our hearts the thoughts of our human minds by our holy pursuits of prayer, so as to give forth a sweet smell to God by our heavenly desire. And we offer him myrrh, if we mortify the vices of our bodies by our self-denial. But none of this happens without God coming to you. And he has. And has led you to Christ by his grace to worship Jesus. He is king to lead you into his kingdom. He is God with the authority and power to forgive and to grant eternal life. He died to cover your sins and then rose so that death would lose its power over you. The gifts do indeed fit him perfectly. And as we consider the poor magi with all of their faults, we realize that since God has had no problem embracing them, we too are embraced. He has no problem embracing you. By the King of Kings, we are embraced as though we were his gifts. And you are. It is true, because he died for you. And he does indeed cherish you as his very own. So that now you too are wise by the grace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light.